We continue now with our series of tales of the Baal Shem Tov and Anoshim Pshutim with simple folk. These tales are divided into a number of categories, both how the Baal Shem Tov would tell his Talmidim, his disciples, about how special were Anoshim Pshutim, various stories that indicated this, sometimes even sending them to these people in order to learn lessons. Also, there are even times that the Baal Shem Tov was informed from heaven that there was a superiority in the service of this and that ish poshet to his own divine service. The story which we begin with today deals with such an incident. The Baal Shem Tov was once informed min hashamayim, from heaven, that there was a simple shepherd whose avodas Hashem, whose worship of God, was even greater than the Baal Shem Tov himself. The Baal Shem Tov very much desired to meet this person who, though simple, shone so stellarly in his divine service. And so the Baal Shem Tov, together with some of his Talmidim, went to a distant location to find this man and find out about him. They finally arrived at a distant mountain, and there they stood at the foot of the mountain in a field, and they saw the shepherd standing higher up on the mountain together with the flock, which was strewn all about the peak, and he was blowing his horn to gather the flock together. When the sheep were assembled, the shepherd led them to the watering trough and let them have their fill. Then the shepherd turned his face heavenwards and declared, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, you have created heaven and earth, this mountain, and this flock of sheep, as well as having created myself and your nation Israel. You sustain all of your creatures and provide them and myself with our daily food. Who am I? The man continued in his plaint to the Almighty. I am a boor, an unlearned man, a simple man. How can I expect to serve you? What praise can I possibly offer you? I'm but a poor orphan who has been raised among non-Jews and has never learned any Torah. So what I'll do, God, is I will take this horn that I use and blow upon it with all my might, just as if it were a shofar, to proclaim that you are Elyon, I'll call Elyon, the highest and most supreme of all. Having said so, the shepherd put the horn to his lips and produced a mighty blast, blowing with all his strength until, exhausted, he fell to the ground. When he had recovered, he arose and again spoke to Hashem. Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Creator of heaven and earth, Sustainer of all living beings. You have selected the Jews to be your nation, to study your Torah, and to pray to you. But I am only an insignificant shepherd. I know neither how to study, I don't know how to learn Torah, nor do I know how to pray. For I am an orphan, raised among Gentiles. All I know is that you are the greatest of all, and all I know are some shepherd songs, which I will now offer to you. And having so said, the shepherd began singing mightily and with all his power until he was so exhausted that he fell to the ground. When the shepherd recovered some of his strength, he once again raised his arm to heaven and cried out, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I have blown my horn and sung my shepherd songs, L'kfoit Ko, in your honor. But of what value does it have to you, creator of all, sustainer of every living creature. What else can I do in your honor? I have one more skill left, and that I will perform for you now. He then flung himself downwards and did a series of handstands and somersaults, revolving around and around, until all his energy spent, he fell down completely senseless. Upon recovery, he again stood up to his full height and said the following, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I have blown my horn with all my might to do your honor. I have sung my shepherd songs and stood upon my head. But what significance can this possibly be to you, O high and mighty God? How else can I possibly show my love and my subjugation to you? And then he went on to say, Last night, the Paritz, who owns the sheep I tend, threw a party for all his servants. At the end of the evening, he distributed small silver coins to everyone, including myself. And so I have this precious silver coin, and I am going to give this coin to you, O God, creator of the universe, of the heaven and of the earth, of this very mountain, of my sheep, and of myself, your humble servant. And with these words, he flung his penny towards heaven with all his might. At that moment, the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, who had been watching the entire scene, suddenly saw an outstretched hand appear in the sky. The hand quickly took the gift, and the hand disappeared from sight. And the Baal Shem Tov said to his disciples, That lowly shepherd, whom you have now witnessed, has just fulfilled the commandment of Ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol ma'idecha. You shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Ma'idcha, which is also translated by our sages, not only with all one's might, but with all one's money, and doing both things, flinging his money and flinging himself with all his heart and all his soul and all his might, this so-called simple shepherd who in heaven was shown to have an avidus Hashem that even a service of God that even surpassed that of the Baal Shem Tov, it was now amply demonstrated to the Baal Shem Tov what simple and heartfelt service can be. Of the many tales of the Baal Shem Tov with Anoshim Pshutim, with simple folk, I believe this is one of the most famous. There was once a poor Jew who rented his house and field from the local Poritz, the local landowner. The landlord, a Gentile, respected his upright tenant and treated him as a dear friend. One day, the Jew, the tenant, suddenly died, leaving a young widow and son. The woman, heartbroken, died soon afterwards, and her son remained orphaned of both father and mother, nishtogedacht. The kind landlord, the Gentile, had pity upon the unfortunate lad and undertook to raise him, as he had no children of his own. The boy, Yosala, as he was known, grew up among his Gentile foster parents, not even knowing that he was actually a Jew, for he was adopted at a very early and tender age. One day, as he was playing with some friends, a little boy suddenly got angry at him and called him a Jew. Upset and confused, Yosseler rushed to his foster father, to his adopted father, and said, "What are they doing? Why are they calling me a Jew? Can that be? Don't pay any attention to idle name-calling," his father said to the boy. "Your friend only meant it as a joke. Why, you are my very own flesh and blood. I have made you the heir to all of my property, to my fields, my vineyards, the orchards, the lakes and forests. What difference can it possibly make to you if some little boy calls you a name? But tell me, please," said the young lad, "is it true after all? Am I really a Jew?" The boy kept demanding and demanding until his foster father was finally obliged to tell him the truth, that yes, he was born of Jewish parents who died while he was of a very early age, and he had adopted him. Having heard this, Yosseler's curiosity was aroused, and he demanded to know more about his parents and his background. "Your parents," said the landlord to the boy, "were decent and honest people. They were so extremely poor, however, that they were unable to leave you more than an old book and a ragged little sack. Please show them to me," begged the boy, who was curious to know all about his past and his parents. The landowner took out a Hebrew book, which was actually a machzer for the Yom Neroim, for the high holidays, and a worn talus bag. The boy opened the machzer, but could not recognize the strange characters within it. He took the two items to his room, where he placed them in a hidden place where he would place all his treasured items. One day, as Yosseler was playing in the street, he noticed several Jewish families loading their wagons in preparation for a trip. "Are you going to the fair?" Yosseler asked them after greeting them. "No, not this time," they said. "We are going to the nearby village for Rosh Hashanah, for the high holy days," they answered kindly. "Rosh Hashanah? What's that?" inquired the boy. They explained to him that Rosh Hashanah was the beginning of the high holy days, the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the 10 days of repentance, and together with Yom Kippur, made up the time when God judged the entire world, and it was a time for repentance, atonement, and for good resolutions for the future. At that time, they explained to him, Hashem, God, spreads before him the books in which were written everyone's deeds of the past year, and he passes judgment upon each individual. Now, the passerby did know that Yosseler was indeed a Jewish boy and that his name was Yosseler. Nevertheless, they dared not tell him more for fear of arousing the Poritz's ire if he were to find out that they were telling him about things Jewish. But their hearts went out to the poor Jewish orphan who was to all intents and purposes lost to his people. His heart pounding, Yosseler returned to his home to brood upon the events of the day in his own room. That night, falling into a restless sleep, he dreamt that he saw his father, his real father. "Yosseler," the father said to him, "my son, you are a Jew. Go to shul, go to the synagogue, and pray with all the other Jews. God will surely listen to your prayers." Yosseler was deeply moved by this vision of his father in his dream. And the next night, he was even more moved when he dreamed it again. This time, however, his mother appeared to him, saying, "My dear son, you are a Jew. Your place is among your brothers, and not in the house of this Gentile landowner, kind as he may be to you. Today is Rosh Hashanah. All over the world. Go and join your brethren in prayer. It is still not too late." On the following morning, the Poritz, the foster father, went hunting, and the boy was left alone, pondering the dreams. Suddenly and irrevocably, he made a decision. Yosele went to his room, grabbed his two most prized possessions, the machzor and the talisak, and ran out of the house. He ran through fields and forests, stopping only occasionally to rest. And so he continued traveling for many days until he finally reached a city. Coming to the city, Yosel asked, "Where is the local synagogue?" And having been directed to the synagogue, he arrived in Shul just before Shkia, just before sunset. Entering the Shul, he found himself in a large room filled with Jews, all dressed in white, the kittel, the special white robe which is worn on Yom Kippur. It was Erev Yom Kippur, the evening, and the congregation was saying Kol Nidre, the solemn opening prayer that is recited on the eve of Yom Kippur. The Jewish boy Yosele listened to the prayers of his brethren, and they plucked at his heartstrings. His young heart was overflowing with emotions, and he too wished to pour out his feelings in sweet prayer to the Master of the Universe, but he knew not how. He knew not a word of Hebrew, and the lost boy's pain rent the very heavens. That Yom Kippur, the Baal Shem Tov's faith showed lines of worry. The Baal Shem stood in his Beis HaMedrash, wrapped in his kittel and talis, and his devoted Talmidim, his devoted disciples, discerned a shadow cross his holy form. Something was troubling the Rebbe, but of course they dared not ask him what it was. Kol Nidre in the Beis HaMedrash in the synagogue of the Baal Shem Tov was recited with tremendous gravity. And the Baal Shem Tov tried to share in the Baal Shem's mood. During the pause that preceded the evening prayers, the Baal Shem Tov stood engrossed in his thoughts, until suddenly a tremendous smile burst across the Baal Shem Tov's face, and he told the Talmidim, "Now we can begin Ma'ariv, we may commence the evening service." On Motzei Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur was concluded, the Baal Shem Tov explained the reasons behind his changing moods of the preceding evening. "I too was seized with sorrow for the fate of that Jewish youth," the Baal Shem Tov said, "because I was aware what was happening with Yosele." And he told his Talmidim the whole history about this boy Yosele, which we have just related. "I feared that the boy might become confused and run away from the shul, because this was so foreign and so alien to him, although his heart desired to share. And if he would do so, he would, God forbid, become lost to Yiddishkeit forever. However, the boy Yosele suddenly remembered the machzor in his hands, and he opened it and said to the Almighty, 'Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I don't know what to pray or how to pray, what to say, what to ask of you, what I'm supposed to say, what high holidays are, I know nothing. I've been raised as a Gentile child, but I know that I am Jewish, and I do want to pray, and I'm holding in my hand a precious prayer book. Here, Hashem, is this prayer book, which probably has everything which I would want to say. Looked upon this as if I prayed everything that I should have. And having said this, the boy buried his face in the open machzor, and Yosela wept without cease. Tears appeared in the eyes of the Talmidim when the Baal Shem Tov came to the conclusion of this tale. In succeeding years, it is told, when the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, when the disciples of the Baal Shem would offer their prayers, they were oft reminded of this story that which the Baal Shem Tov told them of the lost Jewish soul who in the end returned to his source. And they would compare themselves with him. Each chassid, each tzaddik, each righteous individual, saying in his heart, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I stand before you like that lost boy. Can I truthfully say that I know how to pray? That I know the proper thoughts, meanings, and intentions that lie in the holy prayers? Here is a siddur. It already contains all the prayers with their meanings. Accept the following prayers I offer you from the depths of my heart, and bless us all with a good and sweet year. Indeed, it is said that those who do not know the kavonis, the intentions, the kabbalistic intentions, the mystical intentions, the various sacred thoughts that are to accompany prayer, one should, like Yosela and like these disciples, say to a God that may it be God's will that all the intentions and all the proper thoughts that are found in the prayers be part of the prayer and rise with the prayer. And with God's help, these prayers with their proper intentions will truly arise before God, bring about their desired effect, and speedily hasten the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu.